We're continuing our sermon series on who our wonderful God is. So sorry for those of you who thought this was going to be a Mother's Day mother sermon. So those are hard to come up with. So I'm going to stick with God instead. So we're looking at our wonderful God, his attributes, his characteristics, who he has revealed himself to be in the Word, the Bible. And in Scripture, we find that God is not spoken of as a composite, meaning he's not made up of parts. He is each one of his attributes, not one more than the other, but all characteristics equal at the same time. This means he is totally holy, while at the same time he is totally just and totally loving, and all the rest of his characteristics, all at the same time. He is all his attributes fully, all the time. That is who he is. We also find that who he is perfectly lines up with what he does. Said another way, he acts according to who he is, which means he is holy, so he does only holy things. He is just, so he does only just things. He is love, so he does only loving things. That's who he is. Last week we looked at God's self-existence, that his existence comes from himself. He's not dependent on anything or anyone to exist. He is totally self-sufficient. His existence comes from himself. And he exists without a single limit. There is zero constraint on him. He is infinite. Those are just some of the descriptions of who he is. And the more we get to know him, as he has revealed himself in the Bible, the more we meditate on and ponder and think upon who he is personally, the more our amazement and wonder and love and worship of him will grow. We will desire obedience. We can't look at how he has disclosed himself and go, oh yeah, well that's nice, he's self-existent. Huh, that's pretty good. What are we having for lunch? Like, it's not going to happen. If we give ourselves to the Lord to look at who he is, there is nothing but wonder and awe and amazement of who he is, especially us who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, opening our eyes and giving us understanding of who the Lord is. We cannot read who he is and just go, oh yeah, okay. No, the Holy Spirit will stir in us and awaken us to who our wonderful Lord is. Actually is, and destroy this little concept that we have of him. Lord, bring it. That is my prayer for myself and for us, that he blows us away with who he is, because then we will be growing in our knowledge and our worship and our dedication and our surrender to the Lord and joy in the Lord. So may that come. Lord, please bring it. Today we are looking at God's immutability, which means he does not change. Which makes him totally dependable for us to depend on him. He does not change. So let's pray and talk more about this amazing Lord whom we belong to. Father, please give us understanding, increase our understanding and our knowledge. Forgive us for perhaps the picture we've made up of you in our minds based on ourselves, based on our experience, based on what we've heard others say. Forgive us for that. Clean that up, Lord. Establish in our hearts and our minds a true understanding of you according to your word, which means according to you. Do that work in us, Lord, and blow us away. Blow us away so that we wholeheartedly and with quite a lot of joy and excitement live our lives in worship of you. Do that in us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Change. We cannot get away from change. Everything, all of creation is constantly changing. The word entropy describes the gradual breakdown of energy throughout the universe. And the word atrophy describes our physical decline that each one of us is experiencing. So all created things are in a state of entropy and atrophy. Everything is changing. Everything. We have no idea what's coming next for ourselves, for our family, for the world. You know, our traveling changed completely after 9/11. Smartphones changed the way we communicate, changed relationships, changed entertainment. A change in our health, which so easily happens to, has happened to some of us and can happen to any of us, changes how we think and how we live. People are always changing. We change out of fear. We change out of loss. We're influenced in certain ways. Our opinions and our interests and our attitudes, they're always changing. How we treat each other can change in a moment. All of our characters and our personalities and behaviors, thank the Lord, have changed over time. There was a time when I used to live in the bars, live in the clubs. I was addicted to that scene, not to alcohol, but to the bar scene. But today, I'm different. I'm no longer addicted to the bar scene. I've changed, thank God. And in Scripture, King David changed. He changed from fearing King Saul in 1 Samuel 27 to trusting in God and not fearing man in 2 Samuel 22. He changed in a positive way. The prophet Elijah, he changed as well. He had this intense, brave showdown with 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18. So he had that incredible showdown. And then the next chapter, 1 Kings 19, he is mortified with fear of Queen Jezebel because she wants him dead. So he changed from this incredible trust in the Lord to not so much trust in the Lord at all. From positive to a negative. And that's what change is about. It's a change from better to worse or worse to better. From immature to mature or mature to immature. Change is growth or development or decline. For change to even happen indicates that there is a deficiency. The person, the item, or situation improves or declines because it's not perfect. There is room to go one way or the other. And change can be good. Change can be very good, as we've heard. If we want something to improve, we have to change. If we want a better marriage, better relationships, better attitude, more joy, if we want to be Christ-like, we must change. When my brother passed away a number of years ago, I went on a downward spiral for a while. And in the proper time, Dixie said to me, "You need help." And she found help for me, and I got better. I changed, and I improved. Because change can be very positive, some people love it. Some people love change. They even see no change as being stagnant or being stuck, and that's boring. We've got to have change. But then there are many people who don't like change and would like things to stay just as they are. So we're all very familiar with change. And there are times when we carry this familiarity with change and our biases towards it, we bring that into our understanding of God, thinking He changes like everything else. You know, there are new developments in the world needing Him to adjust His plan and deal with that issue. Or He increases in something like His love for me, because the more He gets to know me, the more He falls in love with me because I'm so lovable. And I'm sure there are some who are very glad that He doesn't change and liken it to their love for no change. But in reality, they are not the same, because the reasons God doesn't change and you don't change are very, very different. But whatever our preferences and our biases are for change, we like to parachute them into our understanding of who God is. And that really doesn't work. Because the Creator is so different from us, the created ones. God describes himself as immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't change because he is perfect. And perfect doesn't get more perfect or less perfect. It's perfect. To be more holy or more loving, that's impossible for God to do because he is holy and he is loving completely and perfectly. With God, there is no deterioration. To have a flaw or weakness or deficiency in God is impossible. So there is no improving for God. He is perfect. As was read to us earlier, Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27 points out a line of thinking that we can have. We can think that because the earth and the heavens, they're so big and majestic and beautiful that they're permanent, they're here forever. But they will perish and wear out. Yet, God stays the same. His years have no end. He doesn't change. This means his promises don't change. This means his character, like his power, his eternalness, his self-existence, his self-sufficiency, his wisdom, his presence, his grace, his love, his mercy, his sovereignty, his freedom, none of that changes. None of it. His knowledge doesn't grow. He's not developing as a God. He's not maturing or getting better and better at his role of God. He has not and will not chill out with his justice and his wrath and become a more loving God. That's the wrong way of understanding and thinking of God. God is complete. He is perfect. He always has been. He always will be. He doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He, as he is how he has always been and will always be. Zero mutation or changes. Who he is doesn't change. Our characters change all the time, but not God. And because God is perfect through and through, his word is perfect. What he speaks is truth and stands forever and does not change. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Titus 1 verse 2 flat out says, "God never lies." Numbers 23, verse 19, "God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Once he has said something or promised something, it's going to happen. It's truth for always, and therefore stands forever. His plans, his purpose, and therefore his counsel will never change. He fulfilled and will be fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies. He keeps his word. What he says is what happens. You know, we give our word and then we don't do what we say. We make all kinds of claims about ourselves and how we love and obey the Lord, and yet often our words don't match up with our actions. But that is not the case with God. Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8 says, "All flesh is grass, the grass withers, but the word of our God will stand forever." Psalm 119, verse 89, and verses 151 to 52 say, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. All your commands are true. You established them to last forever." His word stands. His word lasts forever. It's not shaky or it doesn't change. That's because he stands forever. He has been and is forever. He doesn't change. Therefore, his word doesn't change. So, 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, "Repent and believe in the gospel," it's still true today. when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is true today. Because as John 10 verse 35 says, Scripture cannot be broken. God's word stands firm, lasts forever, because God does not change. God hates sin today just as much as when he destroyed whole nations, when he slaughtered thousands of Israelites for their sin. He hates sin just as much today as he did back then. He has the same love and grace and mercy today as he did thousands of years ago when he didn't destroy whole nations, when he didn't destroy Israel for their sin, even though they deserved it. He gave them forgiveness instead. He has that same love and mercy today as he did back then. Think of God's plans and his purposes. He's not making them up right now. He's not busy going, oh, that just happened. Oh, now I got to change this. That's not happening for him. He's always had his plans before him because he has always had full knowledge and sovereign control over everything. In eternity past, all his plans were laid out before him. Everything is laid out before him. His plan was laid out before him long ago with every other thing that exists. He knows everything. There's no need to change anything. Nothing has ever been unknown to him. So his plan, his counsel, his word, he doesn't lie. That's all true because he is perfect and he does not change. He'll respond to different situations in different ways as he chooses. Like with the city of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, he was going to destroy the city, which they deserved, but they repented, and so he didn't destroy them. God saw their repentance, their change of heart, and Scripture says he relented of the disaster. He forgave them. This relenting God did is often seen as God changing his mind. He modified his plans. This is even taken as proof that the future is not fixed, and therefore God doesn't know the future yet because there is no future to know. Therefore, God is constantly changing and adding to his plans as he learns how the future comes about, how the future is unfolding. But that is not true. When you look at chapters like Psalm 139, it's clear that God knows everything about everything. Throughout Scripture, God proclaims what is going to happen in the future. And it happens because he brings it about. He's moving this world along in his planned, to his planned end. The future is unfolding according to his massive oversight and plan. He knows what's coming because it's in his sovereignty. So going back to the city of Nineveh, God knew the people of Nineveh would repent. He knew it. Acts 11 verse 18 says, to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. 2 Timothy 2 verse 25 says that God grants repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. So he knew Nineveh would repent because he is the gift giver of repentance. He knew what was coming. He had no need to change any plan. God even says this of himself in Malachi 3 verse 6, where he's referring to some of his specific characteristics like his patience and his long-suffering and his mercy. And then he says, I, the Lord, do not change. I do not change. James 1 verse 17 points out that all good gifts ultimately come from God. And with him, there is no variation or shifting shadow. Good gifts have always come from God, and they will continue to come from him because he doesn't change. One scholar suggests that we think in terms of being and becoming. People are always becoming something. We are always changing. We always strive and search for satisfaction, which always involves change. But God isn't becoming something. He is. He is fully being himself, perfectly and completely lacking nothing. He's not becoming anything. He's perfect and therefore is being who he is. All that God is right now, he has always been. Nothing that is written in Scripture about who God is will ever, ever change. The power and the love and the loyalty and the hatred for sin that God displayed in his relationship to Israel and to pagan nations in the Old Testament, that's him today and forever. The love of God, the Son, in saving sinners is the same today as when it happened 2,000 years ago. We worship the God who is immutable, complete, perfect, nothing to change into or improve, and no possibility of deteriorating. He rejoices in his children all the time. He loves us. His affection for us will not change. God being for us, on our side, that will never change. He won't lose interest in us. We can trust him. Look at God's promise to Abraham. He said he would make a great nation out of Abraham's offspring in Genesis 12 and 15. God said that that offspring would be a blessing to the world in Genesis 12 and Genesis 18. He said that the land that he brought Abraham to would belong to his offspring in Genesis chapter 13. And all of it happened. The nation of Israel, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming from the nation of Israel, blessing the whole world. God does what he says he's going to do. And pointing to his promises to Abraham, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 18 tells us, it is impossible for God to lie. He is truth. He is love. He is just. He is all-knowing. He is holy. He is perfect. He doesn't change. God definitely uses change, changes people and changes situation. The end is coming, bringing major changes to the heavens and the earth, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 3. Thankfully, God changes us through repentance of sin and faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He makes us his children. We're new creations in Christ. And then he starts the process of transforming us into being more like Christ, maturing us, as 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 tells us. God changes people. God changes situations, but he does not change because there is no need to. He is perfect. Creation is not. So everything changes. We as humans, we're not that dependable. Culture, not dependable. The earth, not dependable. Everything changes. There's always talk of the church having to adapt to the current culture or risk becoming irrelevant. Well, God in his word doesn't change. His character, his truth, his plan, his message, his salvation doesn't change. He doesn't flip-flop. He is stable. He is the rock and therefore the source of all rest. This truth of who God is affects everything. Because this means God's view and attitude toward us does not change. Toward his creation does not change. We can know him without thinking he's changed on us. What did he do? He used to be so loving. Now he's not. It's not going to happen. We can know his will without thinking he's changed it on us. I thought we were supposed to live for his glory. Now he's changed it. That's not going to happen. I thought I was supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Now I don't have to. No, that's not going to happen. His word stays, does not change, because he doesn't change. We can know that he loves us without thinking he's going to change. He is fully and completely perfect. Zero need for change. Listen to the assurance he gives us about his mercy and his care and his commitment in Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed,
But my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Love that word, never. Except when you're talking to your spouse. I never do that to you. Hey, don't use that word never. Here is so good. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is not this flawed, lovesick teenager or husband or wife who wrote hundreds of love letters and cards saying, I will always love you and be with you till the very end, and then change his mind and leave you. He's not like that. We can trust him. We can trust his word. His Bible is trustable because he is trustable, and the Bible is breathed out by him. And even though God is this big, wonderful, independent, and unchanging God, so unlike us, that doesn't mean that we are insignificant to him. He considers us very significant. He made us in his image, and he sent God the Son to come to take your punishment and my punishment for sin. The punishment we deserve, God sent his Son to take it so that we could be forgiven and made into his children and be with him for eternity. What else cries out, you're significant? Your job? You leave your job, you'll be replaced in a week and they'll forget about you in about a year. I left our church back in Winnipeg. I thought I was a hot shot. Hey, youth pastor. Oh, we got this big ministry, all this big leadership team. I was a great youth pastor. Boy, 3 months I was gone, things were going fine back there. Fine. Piece of me was hoping it would all fall apart. That's how sinful and ridiculous I am. But it went fine. I was replaced. Everything moves on. Does my significance come from being a youth pastor? Does my significance come from being your pastor? Your opinions change. They come and go with the shifting of the sea, the waves. Sometimes you love me. The next time you can't stand that I just said that. Now you're going to be going and saying, I can't believe he said that. I don't like it when he said. It's just poof, poof, poof. Our significance is not in our work, not even in our families or our spouses. Our significance comes from the truth that the God, the only one, considers you significant and has made you his child through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Perhaps all this excitement of who God is has brought some of your personal needs into your focus. You need to know that for those in Christ, his promises are for you. And he is trustable and he is faithful. Go to him in prayer. Search his word to hear him speak to you. Have the amazing Lord of all draw you into his unchanging, dependable truth. Let the Lord of all draw you to himself and be at rest in him with all joy and confidence in who he is, because you are found in Jesus Christ. One scholar said of God, he is infinitely worthy of trust because he is absolutely and eternally unchanging in his being, his perfections, purposes, and promises. Church, brothers and sisters, that's who we worship. That's the God that we worship. He is our Lord. We are found in him. Dig into his word. Get to know him. Let him blow you away with how fantastic he is and how normal and little everything else is. Be blown away by our Lord and watch what happens with your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this is what we want. We don't want to be about ourselves. We don't want to be flowing along with this culture that has ridiculous standards and worships ridiculous fake gods. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to put our significance, our identity in the silliness, the foolishness of the world. We want to set it on you, the eternal, self-sufficient, unchanging, perfect, holy God. Please, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, change us, Lord. Don't let us stay the same. Don't let us stay in our own little mentality, in our own little bubble. Don't let me stay there. Don't let me prop myself up with my own thoughts and my own arguments. Father, tear me down with your word and build me up with your word. That's the only place to be, and that is the place to be. Let that be so, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand and we sing?